Morning, everyone. So today we begin the four-week journey of Advent, the four-week lead-up to the great celebration of Christmas. And I don't know about you, but to me, this is a special time of year. All right, and it always has been. I mean, I remember from being very, very young, the day when the Christmas decorations began to come out, that was a day that was just ripe with anticipation. And I always thought that the older that I got, maybe that anticipation would go away. And while it's true that it's changed, the excitement is still there. There's something about the time in between Thanksgiving and Christmas that's exciting. You know, actually, as I was teaching over at Bishop Carroll, there was a student. They already on their locker, they have this dry erase board that they wrapped up, and they kind of have this little cutout in it too, with a countdown to the number of days until Christmas, and then the number of days until the end of the semester, until break starts. So there's something that's exciting. There's a level of anticipation about it. And in fact, yesterday on Facebook, I saw my old seminary. This time of year, we'd always have an open house where we'd invite in all of the undergraduates from the school. And we would decorate the seminary, we'd decorate our own respective halls, and we'd decorate them to the nines. I mean, some of the things that we did were on the verge of being absurd. I mean, there were some things, I mean, I kid you not, my first year that I was there, this wasn't my hall, because I was diligently studying, of course. But we had a hall with a live flowing Jordan River. I kid you not, I can show you pictures of this. You know, they bought a whole big piece of plastic. They went out to our sand volleyball pit, put a whole bunch of sand on it. You know, and somehow, through some engineering feat, clearly there was an engineer on that floor, there was a living, flowing river going through, you know, the first floor of our hall. You know, and then we had some guy there standing as John the Baptist, you know, preaching away or whatever. So, you know, the students, they love to see this. I mean, we really got into it. So there's something about this time of year that's so much fun. And even for me, when I was in seminary, what's really, really neat about the East Coast is that there are some of these towns and you know, these downtown areas that have been around for literally 200 plus years. And one of these towns that was just south of where I went to school, every single year, they decorated their main street to the nines. It was incredible. Just seeing all the trees be lit up. And there were a number of guys from my class every single year. We'd go down there at this time just to have dinner and just to kind of experience it. I mean, you know, there was something about this time of year, and even still now, there's something that's just so exciting. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, share that excitement. However, what's interesting is that this time of year, people say, is also the most stressful. They say that this time of year, in fact, studies show that both heart attacks and suicides spike. So it's truly the most joyful time of year. So it's interesting. So what is it? What is it that makes this time exciting, but at the same time stressful? Well, before I get to that, first, let's take a look at what we're doing. I mean, what this celebration, this season of Advent is all about. Because when you look at the word Advent, when it's translated literally from the Latin, it means coming. Namely, that someone extremely important is coming in our midst. And at least for me growing up, any time that we had important company coming in my house, the white glove came out and we made sure that everything was ready. Right? Me and my brothers, we were cleaning. Like, I remember too telling her, it's like, Mom, Grandma's coming. She knows that our house is always a disaster. Why do we have to try and put on some front? But it was, right? We would go and we'd clean up, we'd make that preparation because, you know, someone special was coming. Right? We wanted to put our best foot forward. And so Advent for us and throughout the history of the church has always been seen as a time of preparation. And it's a time of twofold preparation. You know, first and foremost, it's a time of spiritual preparation for all of us here now, over the course of these next 24 days, for us to prepare for us to truly prepare for the Christmas season. So that when Christmas morning comes around, we can truly enter into, you know, the mystery of that great solemnity. But also, too, it's a time of preparation for the second coming of Christ. Right? It's a time of a preparation for when we see Jesus yet again for the second time. And in fact, we see in the readings today both of these ideas of preparation highlighted. You know, first in that first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, where Jeremiah speaks about that promise that God made to send a Savior, to send the Messiah. Because remember that from the moment that Adam and Eve sin, from the moment that they are thrown from the garden, Israel's advent began, right? That moment of preparation for the time when the Savior would be sent. So their advent was thousands of years. But then secondly, we see that second type of preparation highlighted in the gospel for today, where we hear Jesus speaking about the end time, speaking about the time when he will come again in all of his glory. So for us, this Advent is meant to be a type of preparation for both of those, right? But in preparing to truly celebrate the birth of our Lord, the birth of Jesus Christ, in making those spiritual preparations here now over the course of these coming weeks, we're also preparing ourselves for that second coming, right? They're tied together in that way. So I go back. So why is this season exciting but also stressful? And I think the answer to that question is because of all of the preparation that goes into it. I mean, think about it. It's just a week and a half ago, we finally got done with this big grand meal for Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden now we got to start to plan for the next one. You know, I saw a great post on Facebook someone put on there too. You know, their kids were saying, you know, the week leading up to both Thanksgiving and Christmas, when kids ask for dinner, they say, nothing, you're going to have to wait until Thanksgiving or Christmas. Because there's so much preparation that goes into this. Or think about it. I mean, the food's just the beginning, but there's gifts, right? There's decorating the house. You know, maybe the in-laws are coming by. Whatever it may be, there are all these little things that we have to do to prepare. And the reason why it's such a big deal is because I think we want it to be a special season, right? That's something that we desire even from when we're young kids. And like I said, even for me now, I always want Christmas to be a special time. And in fact, I think the movie Christmas Vacation, anybody who's seen it before, understands that this highlights exactly kind of that tension perfectly almost. You know, Christmas Vacation, it's one of, I mean, forget it being my favorite Christmas movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, I've seen this movie countless times. I can almost quote every single scene that goes in, and I still laugh at it hysterically. It doesn't matter. And the reason why I think it's so funny is because, at least for me and my family, I can see kind of the struggles going on. I can see them mirrored in what's going on in that film. Because, you know, you have Clark Griswold, you know, who just, again, from that very young age, he wants to have this perfect Christmas. He wants to have this special Christmas that you only see out of the, you know, that you only see in fiction. And so he says that, you know, that for him growing up, he said that when he was going to have a family of his own, he was going to make sure that he had everything down right. And from the very, very beginning, the opening scene of the film, I think it sums it up perfectly, where, you know, he's going out into the wilderness with his family, you know, in snow up to here. Because, of course, you can't just go to a tree lot to get a tree. It's got to be some grand, great experience. And he goes, and he finds a tree that wouldn't even fit in the middle of this church. And it's one of the great lines in the whole film, right? His son looks at him and he goes, Dad, that tree wouldn't fit in our front yard. And he looks back and he goes, don't worry, son, it's not going in our front yard. It's going in our living room. So you see it right from the very beginning. There's this idea of him wanting something great, but as the movie continues to progress, just as things always tend to do, thing after thing breaks down, breaks down, breaks down, until you get to the end where they are completely at their wit's end. But again, I see this as something, the reason why I think it's still so timeless, at least for me, is because we have that desire. We want to do all those things. We want that preparation to really pan out and to really be a special experience on Christmas morning. But in reality, things fall through the cracks. Because what I think is so difficult about this time, or one of the great temptations at least that we face, is that it's so easy for us to miss the forest for the trees during this time. Right? It's so easy for us to focus on those small little details that we want to turn out perfectly, that we miss the greater picture of what's going on. Right? We focus on making sure that the gifts, that the food, that the decorations, that all of those things are perfect, that we forget that we're celebrating the fact that God became man. We forget that we're celebrating, you know, the fact that God sent his son to be our Messiah, to be our Redeemer. Right? We forget, I hate to use the cliche, but we forget the reason for the season. And so for us, during these 4 weeks, we spend all this time preparing these little details that in the grand scheme of things really don't matter. You see, when the church talks about Advent, when the church talks about a time of preparation, it's not talking about all these little details, but rather it's asking ourselves, will we be ready to truly celebrate the birth and the coming of our Savior? And I think the question that all of us need to be asking ourselves over the course of this week is, what is our plan to truly make those preparations that finally matter? What is it that we're doing so that way we don't get caught up in all of the things that happen out in the secular world, but rather we're preparing our souls to truly receive our Lord here just a short 24 days from now? So over the course of this week, I'd invite us all to really truly pray about making an intentional plan. And I use that word of intentionality. It's big for us to make a decision, to decide what we're going to do, what sacrifices we're going to make, what other things we're going to do to prepare our souls so as to truly celebrate Christmas morning when it comes just a few short weeks from now. I mean, maybe we take an hour of Eucharistic adoration to be with our Lord to prepare ourselves. You know, maybe come to Mass one additional day during the week. Or maybe go to confession so as to prepare our souls. You know, in fact, here in the coming weeks, Father Ben and I, we're going to be offering additional confession times for anyone who's interested. We'll be posting those here in the next week or so. But in that week leading up, we will be offering that. So maybe you know, take advantage of that opportunity so as to come to confession if it's been a while. But the key for us is to make an intentional plan. An intentional plan so as to truly prepare in the most authentic sense of the word. Because the reality is, this time of year, it is exciting and it is stressful. Because of all of that preparation that we all need to do so as to get ready. But here's the deal, all those small little details, all those details that we stress over and all that, they'll all come together in the end. At least for me, they always seem to. And here's the deal. If they don't, who cares? It doesn't matter. Because what we're celebrating isn't merely a secular holiday. What we are celebrating is the coming of our Lord and Savior in the flesh. We celebrate the incarnation. And my friends, when it comes down to it, that is the only detail that finally matters.